Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 10, The Deliverance of the Yamala Arjun Trees, Text Number 18. Sarunam Samachitanam Mukunda Charanayishitanam Upekshai Kim Dana Stambar Asad Bir Asad Ashrayai Sadhunam of saintly persons, Samachitanam of those who are equal to everyone, Mukunda Charna Eshinam, whose only business is to serve Mukunda, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and who always aspire for that service. Upekshai, neglecting the association. Kim, what? Dana, stambai. Rich and proud, asadvi, with the association of undesirable persons, asat ashrai, taking shelter of those who are asat, or non-devotees. Translation purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Saintly persons, sadhus, think of Krishna 24 hours a day. They have no other interest. Why should people neglect the association of such exalted spiritual personalities and try to associate with materialists, taking shelter of non-devotees, most of whom are proud and rich? Purport. A sadhu is one who is engaged in devotional service to the Lord without deviation. Bhajate mam ananyabhak. Tadekshava karunika surida sarvadehinam ajata shatava shanta sarva sarubhushanam. The symptoms of a sadhu are that he is tolerant, merciful, and friendly to all living entities. He has no enemies. He is peaceful. He abides by the scriptures, and all his characteristics are sublime. The Bhagavatam 3:25-21. A sadhu is surida, sarvadehinam, the friend of everyone. Why then should the rich, instead of associating with sadhus, waste their valuable time in association with other rich men who are averse to spiritual life? Both the poor man and the rich man can take advantage of the Krishna consciousness movement, and here is advised that everyone do so. There is no profit in avoiding the association of the members of the Krishna consciousness movement. Narottam Das Thakur has said, asat sangatyadi kainayam asat asate vilasa te karne lagila ye karma banda pansa. If we give up the association of sadhus, saintly persons, engage in Krishna consciousness, and associate with persons seeking sense gratification and accumulating wealth for this purpose, our life is spoiled. The word asat refers to a Vaishnava, one who is not a devotee of Krishna. And sat refers to a Vaishnava, Krishna's devotee. One should always seek the association of Vaishnavas and not spoil one's life by mixing with avaishnavas. In Bhagavad Gita 7:15, the distinction between Vaishnava and avaishnava is enunciated. Namam diskritino buddha prapadyante naradama maya pritigyana asram bhava ashritya. One who is not surrendered to Krishna is a most sinful person, diskritin, a rascal, mudha, and the lowest of men, Anaradhamma. Therefore, one should not avoid the association of Vaishnavas, which is now available all over the world in the form of the Krishna Consciousness Movement. So the verse again, Sadunam Savachitanam Mukunda Charnai Shinam Upekshai Kim Dana Stambar Asadvir Asad Ashrayai. Saintly persons, sadhus, think of Krishna 24 hours a day. They have no other business, interest. Why should people neglect the association of such exalted spiritual personalities, try to associate with materialists, taking shelter of non-devotees, most of whom are proud and rich? Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutaya Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Sarasatundeve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Srinivadi Paskyadyade Siddharane. So, to understand why we should associate with devotees, we should theoretically understand what our position is. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Anadidvam Niragunadvat Paramatmayam Avyam Sharira Sopakuntiya Nakaruti Nanalipite. That those who can see with the eyes of eternity can see that the soul is eternal, transcendental, and beyond the modes of material nature. Despite contact with the material body, or Arjuna, the soul is neither entangled nor is he doing anything. Although to our conditioned understanding of things, we think we're doing so many things. To think that we're simply observing, not only observing, but also desiring. In other words, as living beings, as living souls, we have the capacity to desire. We desire according to what our observations are. Observations mean our experience. For instance, if your hand is in the fire, then the soul will feel it. And the natural inclination is desire that it be taken out of the fire, if possible. Now the soul is not being burnt, but his consciousness is being affected by the fact that he's associating with the hand, which is in a fire, and therefore he's understanding that experience as being pain, and therefore he naturally desires that it be taken out. And therefore, by Krishna's arrangement, through the material nature, he fulfills that desire and it's taken out. Krishna reciprocates with the desire, and the desire depends upon the strength of the desire. So the soul's thinking, feeling, and willing. So when the soul comes to the platform of such a strong desire, then Krishna, according to the laws of material nature, fulfills those desires more easily than just by thinking. In Kali Yuga, just by thinking about something, we don't get the karmic reaction for it. Feeling is more intense, and willing is the most intense. So in the spiritual world, we also think, we also feel, and we will. And in this world, we also think, feel, and will. That's the nature of the soul. Now, what we think about, what we feel about, what we will, in the material world, there's three choices in general. Sattva, Rajas, Tamayiti, Guna, Prakriti, Sambhava, Ivanandi, Mahabaho, Dehe, Dehinam, Avyam. Material nature consists of three modes, goodness, passion, ignorance. And when the spirit soul comes in contact with that modes, those modes, he becomes conditioned by them. So we have three general flavors, goodness, passion, ignorance. And therefore, according to our Purusha Prakriti Stohi Bhunte Prakriti Jangunai Karna Guna Sangosya sat asat yoni janmasu. Thus, the living entity follows the ways of life, enjoying the three modes of nature. This is due to his association with those modes, thus he meets with both good and evil amongst the various species. In other words, the sangha, association, the most intense association is mental association. Whatever we're actually thinking about, depending upon the absorption in that thought, that's even more of an association than even sometimes physical association. Although physical association and mental association, they follow each other, but even without physical association, mental association is very intense because the mind is more subtle and therefore it's closer to the soul. Just like the most intense part of our material experience is our false ego. The thing that's most sensitive to ourselves is not the gross or subtle body. It's not even our minds. It's not even our conceptions. It's not even our mood. It's our false ego in the material world. Similarly, when we identify ourselves as Krishna's servants to the extent that we do, then we have clearer opportunity to decide, or we have an opportunity to more clearly decide which we want to choose, which thoughts we want to choose to fulfill. Krishna will supply intelligence, but not all everything Krishna is supplying, not all our mental desires we necessarily fulfill, otherwise we'd be really in trouble. Therefore, not everything we're simply flowing through our mind, we strongly will to fulfill. Although under the influence of intoxication or bad habits, we may fulfill certain desires which ordinarily or previously or by proper education we wouldn't fulfill. We wouldn't put our will into, we could say. So we have to see by there's ignorance, and generally speaking, at least for those in goodness, ignorance doesn't have a very good reputation. Similarly, passion doesn't have a reputation, very good reputation for those of goodness. And for those in passion, sometimes ignorance or goodness doesn't have a good reputation either. Therefore, Krishna says that Rajas tamas chabibhuya sattvam bhavati bharata sattvam rajas tatastaiva tamas sattvam rajas tata. Sometimes the mode of goodness defeats the mode of ignorance and passion. And sometimes the mode of passion defeats ignorance and goodness. And sometimes passion defeats ignorance and goodness. And this way there's always a competition for supremacy. So we were born, when we took birth, the body was made of the three modes. It's a product of the three modes. And that's because our mind was in the three modes, a combination of the three modes, generally speaking. And that's like Shukadeva Goswami, we were born in Brahman. So those three modes influence us, and we have a taste. Everyone who's taken this gross body, according to our mental disposition at the time of death, we've gotten a body and has certain tastes. Human form of life, there's an opportunity to develop a higher taste, but if you get the body of a hog or a dog or a tiger, then you're conditioned by that taste. There's no way out of it. But human beings, they can get a higher taste. Of course, if you're born in a certain culture, by association, it's not by chance you were born in that culture. And generally speaking, you're going to have a taste for this same thing that the people have a taste for in that culture. Because from the moment of birth, practically speaking, by association, you develop certain habits. To the extreme, like for instance, now in the Western world, people, as they become degraded into the modes of nature, their habits generally become degraded too. For instance, 50 years ago, if you would have told people that there'd be advertising to eat insects, you'd think that's ridiculous. Why would anyone in the Western world want to eat insects? But now that because people have degraded and they're making propaganda to eat insects, it's not, for some people, it's not so unusual to buy a bag of insect flour, grasshopper flour. Because we're isolated or insulated, whatever, to us it seems ridiculous. If they told you, here's the chapati, it's made out of a combination of three flowers, cockroach, ant, and grasshopper, we probably wouldn't be very much interested in eating chapatis that day. Hopefully. But people are becoming conditioned like that because they're entering into the lower modes of nature by their habits, and therefore that's what they're acquiring a taste for. If a pig eats stool, he doesn't think this is disgusting. Can you give me some halva? The king thinks, the pig thinks this is delicious. Give me some more. I'll take seconds. But a human being, naturally, if he's not completely in the mode of ignorance, then he'll enjoy something like nice puris with cooked in ghee, nicely cooked. So that depends upon the modes that we're being pushed by. And the modes give us a certain taste. After all, everything has some taste. So if you're conditioned by the lower species of life, then you have a taste for the lower things in life. And if you're conditioned by the higher things in life, you have a taste for the higher things in life. And if you're transcendental, then you have a taste for transcendental things, for Krishna prasadam, things in relation to Krishna. So everything depends upon association. Association is very subtle. Everything we look at, everything we smell, everything we hear, everything we touch is a product of the three modes. It was made out of the three modes. We may not see the three modes, but it was formed from the consciousness of someone, some living entity in the modes of material nature. And therefore it's infused with those modes. And the two things that affect us the most is what we hear. Because what we see also affects us, but we only see according to what we hear. We understand things according to what we hear. If we see things in relation to Krishna, then we're not so much affected by it. And if we see things in relation to ignorance or passion or even goodness, then we become conditioned by it. Of course, what we eat also affects us, but that depends upon what our understanding, what we're eating, our consciousness, our understanding. Prahlad Maharaj is fed poison, but he offered it to Krishna, and therefore became like nectar. Therefore, how we eat and the consciousness we eat will determine, is the biggest factor, but of course, what we eat is also important, because as conditioned souls, we're not likely to find everything is in relation, think of everything in relation to Krishna, and eat everything as Krishna's mercy. Therefore, we eat things that are offered to Krishna, and then we can understand that this is Krishna's mercy. So the point is, association is very important. And here it says, association with devotees who are always thinking about Krishna can help us come to the platform of getting a taste for thinking about Krishna. Like Narada Muni, he was just seemingly a regular, ordinary son of a maidservant. But because of association with the Bhaktivedantas during the rainy season and taking their remnants of prasadam and hearing them when he was serving them, he developed a taste for Krishna Katha, which helped him associate with Krishna, who is a purifying agent for everyone. Krishna purifies everyone. It's by association with Krishna, either by eating his prasadam or remembering him by hearing his instructions, how everything and everyone is related to him, or chanting Hare Krishna, or serving him as we get Krishna's association. And that association is the most purifying. It can take us out of from ignorance, passion, and goodness. And therefore, as we come to the platform of pure goodness, then our natural qualities are manifested. The soul's natural qualities, which means the soul naturally simply desires to serve Krishna. He'll have a taste for associating with Krishna and to serve Krishna. And that will manifest in his activities and his thoughts and everything else. It is not that the soul at any time becomes a doer, but when he only desires to serve Krishna, then the internal energy of Krishna, Yogamaya, makes all the arrangements for his service as an instrument for Krishna. Therefore, yasyatma buddhi kunapeti radhika. That's wrong too. Yasyasya bhakti bhagavata kenchana savarganastatra samasate gura haravaktasi kuto mahagunan manorate nasati davato bahi. That one who's actually a servant of Krishna, who's desiring simply to utilize things in Krishna's service, about the good qualities, one requires all the good qualities. Yasyasti bhaktir. So it's, instead of yasyatma, it's yasyasti bhaktir. Bhagavata kinchana. Savarganas tatra samasute sura. That one who's engaged in Krishna's service, then his activities become just as Krishna's activities. And Krishna is all good. So everything Krishna he does is all good. As Krishna is good, so whatever one does on behalf of Krishna becomes good also. Yasyasti bhaktir bhagavata kinchana. And bhakti means love for Krishna. So Krishna loves everyone, and anyone, anything does under Krishna's direction is for everyone's benefit, because Krishna only does things for Krishna, everyone's benefit. Yasyasti bhaktir bhagavad akinchana. But one has to be devoid of material desire, akinchana. If we mix up Krishna's desire with our conditioned desires, then it's not so good, as good. Yasyasti bhaktir bhagavad akinchana. Savara gunas tatra samasate sura. Then, if you put the iron in the fire, then it gets hotter and hotter and hotter, and eventually it becomes like fire. So, constant association with Krishna, his name, form, associates, his quality and his pastimes. Either internally, thinking about Krishna's activities in Vrindavan, or externally, here, engaging in the Sankirtan movement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Then the result is that one acquires all the good qualities of the demigods by association with Krishna in Krishna consciousness. Savara gunas tatra samasate sura guna. But on the other hand, if one is not a devotee, yasyasti bhaktir bhagavata kinchana savara gunas tatra samasate gura haravaktasi kuto mahagunan, then if one associates with the material qualities, even goodness, but especially ignorance and passion, then the result is manorite dasati davatovahi. One may infuse within ignorance and passion some appearance of transcendental or even goodness, but actually it's just a show. Internally, one is actually, his desires are for ignorance and passion. And therefore, one will only be able to stay on that platform temporarily, appearing to be good, but actually, because he's devoid of Krishna consciousness, it's like the spark out of the fire. He He may put on a big show of glowing for a little while, but eventually he'll go out. He can't really be independent of the fire and the glow. So anyone who's glowing outside of Krishna consciousness, we can understand that it's only temporary. It's only due to previous association with the fire, and now he's still glowing, but that glow will go out in a very short period of time. Similarly, if we're not glowing, we should jump into the fire, then we'll start glowing, the fire of Krishna consciousness. And it's not that the spark is out of the fire and he's become disqualified from jumping into the fire. He's a bad spark, you're a bad spark, you're outside the fire, you're always going to be outside the fire. Don't get it too close to the fire. The fire will burn you. No, the spark, his duty is to jump back into the fire and start glowing again and then tell everyone about how nice and warm it is in the fire. And not take the propaganda that you can be happy and satisfied and glow outside the fire. And it's the association of devotees who are glowing that we become inspired to glow also. And the association of the materialists who are putting out a little show of glowing outside of Krishna consciousness, then we think maybe I can glow too without Krishna. And then we go out along with them. They'll go out shortly and we'll go out also with them. So I'll stop there thinking. Any questions or comments? Yes.
Thank you for the wonderful class. I have a question. We cannot escape the influence. How to associate properly with all the devotees, especially with advanced devotees?
Well, we could definitely escape the influence of the material modes. That's what we're here for. Otherwise, how are we here? You can't escape the influence. But we have to add Krishna consciousness. At least we have to add the theoretical knowledge that's in the scripture, see through the eyes of scripture, and then according to whatever we can understand from scripture, assimilate it, try to desire, act according to that. And then Krishna will help us make more advancement. The more advanced we are, the more we're aloof from the modes of nature. The more we maintain our Krishna consciousness, mam chayo vyabhicharyena bhakti yogena sevate sagunan samatitya aitan brahma bhuyaya kalpate. One who is engaged in full devotional service and failing without failure, one engaged in full devotional service unfailing in all circumstances, how one transcends the modes of material nature and comes to the level of Brahman. So devotional service, the more continuously we do it, the more enthusiastically we do it, the more Krishna helps us to escape the modes of material nature. Thank you. Anything else? Yes.
Hare Krishna. So you mentioned, and I'm thinking, if I understand properly, that Prahlad Maharaj offered poison to Krishna. Yes?
Yes, of course.
Yes. So I'm thinking, he didn't know that this redress was poison.
Well, whatever he got, he offered to Krishna.
Offered to Krishna without desire to enjoy, just offered to Krishna.
Yes, of course. Prahlad Maharaj had no other desire than to please Krishna.
So, and second question. You mentioned demigods. So, we have materialistic demigods and also in spiritual world are demigods. So, if you want
to... Well, generally speaking, the demigods, I don't know which ones you're referring to, but the real demigods, like Indra and his followers, they all are generally in the quality of goodness. They have good qualities. So that's what we're referring to, because that's... they follow... demigods means one who follows Krishna. So they develop good qualities, the demigods. That's why they're demigods. Otherwise, Indra wouldn't be in charge of the rain. and that he's a responsible personality.
Yeah. In Krishna Bhagavad-gita, it's mentioned that demigods, that they are in spiritual world, also demigods.
Yeah, everything is in the spiritual world. Nanda Maharaj worships Lord Narayan there, and also there's demigods. His brother Govardhan worships Durga, but she's a devotee. And of course, even here, Durga is a devotee of Krishna. She's an expansion of Srimati Radharani. Anything else? Kala Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.